Chapter 27. In the dim planet glow shining down from Mirker's emerald face, the flattened Senelac shafts looked more like ice spikes than any security system Anakin had ever seen. The rigid stalks were only knee-high, and no thicker than a finger. But as Jovan Drark's invisible force wave pushed a safe furrow through the field, their blunt blue caps released a meter-long strand of thorns. The barbed cord would flail around in the vacuum for a couple of seconds, presumably entwining and capturing, if not killing, whatever had disturbed it. Had Alima not warned them about the trap, the strike team would have entered the security field completely unprepared. Given the trap they had already flown into aboard the Exquisite Death, Anakin was beginning to wonder if they were really prepared for this. Yulaha had given them less than a 50% chance of success, and as far as he could tell, things were not getting any better. He was beginning to wonder if coming after the Voxen Queen had been such a good idea after all.
"Anakin, this has to be done, and you're not making it any easier with that big negitude."
Tahiri was crawling along behind Anakin, her blonde hair spilling out behind her faceplate.
"So they were expecting us. You dealt with it, and now they aren't.
Sorry. Thought I had that stuff closed off."
"You did."
Tahiri rolled her eyes.
"This is me, Anakin."
The last of the Senelacs fell to Jovan's force wave, and they found themselves at the edge of the spaceport. Basically a huge pit 30 meters deep and a kilometer across. It was surrounded by a cavernous colonnade sealed behind a transparent membrane and accessed by a ring of airlocked valveways. 20 biotic berthing bays lay spaced evenly across the floor, all covered by retractable carapaces and sized to accommodate corvette analog vessels. On the near side of the spaceport, the latest rescue transport to return from the space battle was just berthing. The two halves of the bay carapace rising up to press themselves against the lumpy hull. Though Anakin and the others had not been able to see the battle as they stole across the world ship's pocked surface, the steady stream of rescue vessels returning from space told them that their comrades had put up a good fight. They also knew the outcome. 2-1S had burst-commed a final situation report to 2-4S, and they had all felt Yulaha's death, one of the reasons, no doubt, for Anakin's negitude. Perhaps 5 kilometers beyond the landing pit rose the hive-shaped Grashal peaks they had seen from space. Anakin did not need to stretch out with the Force to know that was where the Voxen were kept. He could feel their hunger clearly, coming straight from that direction. The Jedi prisoner was another matter. He could not sense him, or her, or them, at all, even when he exerted himself.
"Isilamiri?"
Alima asked. She crawled up beside him on the side opposite Tahiri, stopping so that the shoulder of her vac suit touched his.
"If they've got a Jedi, they'd need Isilamiri."
Anakin was not really surprised to have the Twi'lek anticipating him. During the trip from the drop zone, the strike team had found itself acting in such harmony that at times it seemed they were sharing thoughts.
"I don't think he's dead," Tahiri said. "I realize we don't know who he is or anything, but I still think we'd know."
Anakin did not think so, but there was only one way to find out. He turned to call for the Isilamiri mating pheromones Silgol had supplied, then grimaced when Jason was waiting to press the capsule into his glove. "This is getting weird," he said. "Tisar could have said something." A grin showed in Jason's eyes. "Try it from my end." He grew more serious, an aura of distress rising around him. "Anakin, before we start, there's something..."
"Not now, Jason."
Anakin looked away. The last thing he wanted to do was hurt Jason's feelings, but he had seen at Centerpoint Station what happened when he listened to his brother. "I need to do this my own way. I know, I only want to please." Anakin flicked the capsule toward the far side of the landing pit, where a service crew was busy moving provisions out of an open airlock. In Mirker's greenish planet glow, he quickly lost sight of the tiny capsule, but felt it stop when it entered the lock and came to the inner valve. A few minutes later, the crew finished its task and entered the airlock together. Anakin started to tell the others to be ready, then thought better of it. They were. The outer valve was just closing when 24S reported, "Incoming vessel, enemy, frigate analog." The report meant the ship's arrival was imminent. As marvelous as YVH war droids were, their sensor package lacked the power for deep space detection. The news sent a prickle of danger sense down Anakin's spine, but he refused to be rushed. Until he knew where the Jedi was being kept, entering the spaceport would only place the captive, and themselves, at risk. Finally, a swarm of distant squiggles scurried out of an archway about a third of the way around the colonnade. More than a dozen Yuuzhan Vong followed, stooped over and half-stumbling as they attempted to retrieve the escapees. One of the warriors grabbed a squirming form, then jerked his hand back and stomped the creature. Issa Lemiri had sharp teeth. It did not take long before all eyes, at least all eyes visible through the transparent membrane, were fixed on the disturbance. Anakin backed away from the edge and stood. When he turned to order the hollow shrouds activated, he found himself facing a long line of what looked like Yuuzhan Vong. "I suppose you know the plan, too."
"Straight to the Issa Lemiri house."
Bella, or was it Kossoff, answered. "Then back. To steal the rescue shuttle," Danner finished. "We've got it, Jedi. 24S and I will cover the descent." "Well, then." Anakin activated his own hollow shroud and stepped over the edge, dropping alongside the wall and using the Force to cushion his landing. When he did not feel any surge of Yuuzhan Vong alarm through the lambent crystal, he turned to find himself standing before a rancor-sized airlock, a warren of murky tunnels and murkier doorways, barely visible through its translucent door valves. He could feel a handful of Yuuzhan Vong somewhere back in the darkness, but his sense of them was too fuzzy to tell whether they were alarmed by his sudden appearance, or even aware of it. Alima, Tisar, and the others began to arrive beside him. Knowing the Twi'lek to be the most experienced at infiltrating enemy lines, he assigned her to lead the way through the airlock, while he kept an eye on the rest of the spaceport. The landing pit appeared even larger from the floor than from above. In the murky green light, the excitement at the opposite end was visible only as a mass of shadows scurrying around behind the window membrane. And even figures in nearby warrens were difficult to see, unless they were silhouetted against a patch of bioluminescent wall lichen. Only the rescue vessel, sitting pinched in its biotic birthing bay, was distinct and easy to see. By the time Anakin had completed his survey, Ganner and 24S were on the floor behind him. They followed the others through the airlock and let their face plates and breath masks hang over their collars, leaving their throat mics and earpieces in place so they could communicate quietly. Anakin took the lead and began to hurry along the colonnade at the fastest pace he could, without drawing too much attention. The power packs in their hollow shrouds would last only 2 minutes before growing unreliable and needing to be changed. As they went by the rescue ship, they also passed a rampway leading down to a bustling work level under the landing pit. An unarmored Yuuzhan Vong started up the slope, gesturing at them and calling in his own language. A wave of alarm shot through the strike team, but it was quickly quelled when Jason used the battle meld to direct everyone's attention to Alima's unruffled composure. The Yuuzhan Vong reached the door and said something more insistent. Tahiri's voice sounded in everyone's earpieces, giving the proper response. Ganner, who had the most Yuuzhan Vong-like voice, stepped out of line and faced the scarhead. "Poldwag, Kane Abar."
"Kanabar?"
the Yuuzhan Vong asked. There was a moment's pause while Tahiri gave the reply. Then Ganner said,
"Dwi, Kaniabar."
"Yadag Dakal, Ignat." The Yuuzhan Vong raised both arms in a rude gesture, then disappeared back down the ramp.
"What was that about?" Anakin whispered. "Ganner called him the dung of a meat maggot," Tahiri said. "I told him to say Kanabar, not Kaneabar."
"Kaneabar was better,"
Tisar rasped.
"How do you say slime under my scales?"
This drew a chorus of sissing from the Hara sisters, and an order from Anakin to save the jokes. 2-4S reported that the incoming enemy vessel was indeed a frigate analog, and had gone into orbit around the world ship. The prickles returned to Anakin's neck and did not subside. With a frigate in orbit around the world ship, they would have to be careful about the timing of their escape. They reached the dark archway leading into the Isla Namiri Warren. Anakin knew instantly they were in the right place, for the air stank of unwashed bodies, old blood, and even fouler things. The battle meld vanished 3 steps into the tunnel, and he saw that the passage ahead was lined with walking trees similar to those they had seen aboard the Death. Most had broken claws protruding from the trunks, but a handful of the trees still had Isla Namiri clinging to them. A pair of Yuuzhan Vong warriors stood behind a Yorick coral lobby counter, adroitly plaiting a living cord into a braided whip, and somehow ignoring the anguished screams rolling up the corridor. As Anakin approached, both warriors stopped work and crossed their arms over their chest.
"Ramaga Korlat, Miganyam?"
the taller one asked. Anakin walked straight to the gateway.
"Ramaga Korlat?"
the tallest guard asked again, now pulling his amphistaff off his waist and stepping to block Anakin's way. Anakin's answer was sharp, if not quite angry.
"Kaneabar."
The Yuuzhan Vong's saggy eyes looked more confused than angry, but he lowered his amphistaff toward Anakin's chest.
"Yaga?"
Anakin pointed his lightsaber and thumbed the activation switch. The crimson blade shot through the guard's throat and came out through his neck, narrowly missing the warrior behind him. This second Yuuzhan Vong hurled himself backward and opened his mouth to shout the alarm, but was interrupted by the snap hiss of Alima's silver lightsaber slicing through his head. Anakin switched off his hollow shroud and made assignments, sending Jason, Ganner, and 2-4S to watch the entrance, and Jaina, Raynar, and Errol to dispose of the remaining Isla Namiri. Everyone else he led down the corridor toward the torture sounds. When he reached the doorway and peered around the corner, he found himself staring at a Yuuzhan Vong's Vondoon crab-armored chest. The warrior gave a startled cry and started to bring his amphistaff around, but Anakin was already slashing his lightsaber across the Yuuzhan Vong's throat. He thrust-kicked the collapsing body back into the chamber, then heard the telltale drone of thud bugs coming his way, and dived to the floor. He rolled over his shoulder, trying to scan the chamber as he moved. There was an Isla Namiri tree in one corner, and 2 figures spread-eagle against the rear wall, and 2 more figures moving on his right. He came up with his lightsaber in a high guard, then dropped flat as Tisar's mini-cannon bolts began whomping past his head. The Isla Namiri tree erupted into splinters, and Anakin's contact with the Force returned as the Isla Namiri itself was vaporized. He heard the drone of a thud bug coming his way and allowed his Jedi senses to guide his lightsaber around to deflect it, then spun toward the source and found a Yuuzhan Vong charging him with amphistaff in hand. Before Anakin could parry, a bolt from Tisar's mini-cannon hurled the warrior across the room, and Alima rushed in to thrust her silver lightsaber through the shattered armor. Only one Yuuzhan Vong remained, smaller than most and thinner, with a spectral female face and a variety of hooked and serrated talons protruding from her 8 fingers, wrists, and even elbows. A shaper. Anakin stood and started toward her, but a web of shimmering energy lines crackled into existence around her body before he had taken 2 steps. He thought it was a personal shield of some kind, until her eyes widened, and she spat something angry. Anakin focused his thoughts on the web and felt the familiar energies of the Force, but colder and tainted with darkness.
He glanced toward the back wall, where the two prisoners still hung spread-eagle, each bleeding from a profusion of wounds. One, a powerfully built woman with dark hair and darker eyes, was glaring at the shaper, quietly mouthing words Anakin did not understand. The Yuuzhan Vong tried to pluck a strand of the force energy from her body, and succeeded only in severing three fingers. The dark woman smiled, and the web slowly began to shrink, slowly cutting into the shaper's flesh. Anakin was overcome by a deep sense of wrongness, of hatred and anger, of evil. This woman was acting not out of wartime necessity, but out of bloodlust and vengeance. He started toward her. "No, this is wrong." She ignored him, and the Yuuzhan Vong screamed in anguish. Blood began to patter on the floor, and something larger as well. Anakin glanced back to see small cubes of flesh dropping off the body of the female shaper. "Stop!" Anakin raised the butt of his lightsaber and stepped forward to enforce his command, but the Yuuzhan Vong's scream ended abruptly in a wettish plopping sound. When he glanced back, he found her body heaped on the floor in diced sections. The smell was as horrible as the sight, and he had to fight not to vomit. That was when Jason's voice came over his earpiece. "That frigate sending down a shuttle, little brother." "Oh, okay." Anakin gasped. "Keep me posted." There was a pause. Then Jason asked, "Is something wrong?" "We're fine," Anakin said. "Just a surprise. I'll tell you later." An acknowledging click came over the comlink. Then Anakin turned to find Alima at the back wall, already freeing the dark woman from the Blorash jelly holding her in place. "A fascinating technique," the Twi'lek was cooing. "Do you think I could learn it?"
"No, you couldn't," Anakin said. "That attack was cruel. Unnecessarily so."
Alima spun on him, her pale Twi'lek eyes as cold and hard as a Hothan lake.
"You may lecture me about cruel, when a Voxen has burnt the flesh from your sister's face."
She turned back to the dark woman, who was now free of the wall.
"Perhaps I want to be cruel."
The woman gave her an encouraging smile. "There is nothing wrong with vengeance. It is a noble emotion, a powerful one." "Spoken like a true night sister," Zek said, stepping into the chamber. He glanced from the dark woman to the young man, who was still hanging on the wall behind her. "Hello, Welk." Welk, a blonde-haired human a year or two older than Anakin, narrowed his eyes at Zek.
"Hello, traitor."
"You two know each other?" Anakin asked. Zek nodded. "From the Shadow Academy. Welk here was Tamith Kai's best student. After Velas died, of course."
"After you killed him," Welk corrected, glaring at Zek. "And Zek was the Darkest Knight, our leader until he betrayed the Second Imperium at Yavin 4.
Anakin frowned at this. Though he had been too young to participate in the defense of the Jedi Academy when Tamith Kai's Dark Jedi attacked, many of the Jedi Knights on his strike team, including both of his siblings, Lobaka, Tenel Ka, and Raynar, had fought valiantly in the battle. They would not be happy to learn that they had just risked their lives to save one of the attackers. Tisar, who had never even been to Yavin 4, was the first to object.
"We risked our lives to save Dark Jedi?"
The Barabel trained his mini-cannon on the pair.
"Blaster bolts."
"Check that, Tisar." Anakin pushed the mini-cannon down, then turned to the Dark Woman. "Are there any Jedi?"
"We are Jedi," she replied.
Though she was oozing blood from 100 different wounds, the pain seemed to trouble the woman no more than it would a Yuuzhan Vong.
"But in answer to your question, not alive. We were the ones you sensed when you entered the system."
"All the same, there's no harm in looking around." Anakin nodded to Tisar and his hatchmates. "Be careful."
"Do as you wish, young Solo."
The woman smiled.
but there is no need to doubt us. We will be happy to help destroy the Voxen. How do you know you are certainly not here to rescue us?
Leaving Wilk pinned on the wall behind her, she started for the door.
My name, by the way, is Lumi Plo. Perhaps I should start by telling you what we know of this place.
Anakin raised his brow. You aren't holding that to bargain? What makes you think we won't leave you?
Lumi regarded him coldly. And who would be the Dark One then, Anakin?
Anakin was still trying to figure out how she knew his identity when his earpiece activated again. We've got trouble, little brother. This time it was Ganner on the other end. That shuttle? You won't believe who's on it.
I don't, Jason added.
It looks like no Manor.